been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, TuneIn Radio, Player.fm, and Overcast. My gosh, we are available on everything, guys. Available, not a win in Philadelphia. Helping me to talk about that, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, had to recover from all that mess up there, but we made it through it.
Yeah, you know what? We're making it through. We're gonna kind of make sense of what happened. I didn't get to watch the game live. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see it, but fortunately, I was a minister for a friend's wedding at that same time. And congratulations to Barry and Aubrey, two very good friends of mine. If I had to miss a Ravens game, I'm okay with it being your wedding. Especially, I'm happy that it was a game like this, because I think it's anything to write home about. Let's just kick it off, man. What went wrong here for the Ravens? This was an eyesore on every level.
Everything went wrong. I mean, apart from the lights going out like in Super Bowl 47, everything went wrong. I was waiting for that to happen. I mean, we started off great. I mean, if we recall, and I know it's kind of like vague at this point, but, you know, Forsett runs to the right side, 12-yard gain, first down. They went for it in their own side of the football field. Taliaferro gets the first down. I feel confident. And then Joe Flacco airs it out, trying to get Aiken on a big gain. And to no fault of his own, the ball was greatly defensed. It was tipped by the defender, and it was picked off in the end zone. So, and I know Joe Flacco threw two picks. The second one was just, it was ugly.
Yeah, let's talk about those interceptions real quick. Like you just said, the first one, I'm not putting that one on Joe. That was just a fluky interception. I mean, he had the length on it. Kamar Aiken and him, you know, they were talking. It looked like it would have been a good play, but the Eagles did come out. They were, you know, defending well against Joe and against that play, and it hit off somebody else, went into one of the Eagles' hands. That one wasn't on Joe. The second interception, that's on Joe. That was overthrown. No one, not even Waller, I think, could have gotten that ball. That was so over the head of Marlon Brown. That play made no sense. That was a bad call on Joe's part.
It was a bad call. I think he was just trying to make a play there. I mean, who knows? He ended up to it. He made a mistake. I mean, these guys aren't perfect. I mean, you know, how often did Ravens probably miss a tackle? I mean, it happens. I mean, these guys aren't superhumans. They're not going to be perfect. But what matters is when it really matters the most. I mean, this game was horrible on all fronts. But I will – what's front and center of this game, and I actually – if nobody really knows, I've actually went back and forth with some media members. But obviously the big story from this game is Terrell Suggs going after Sam Bradford on this particular play. And when I first saw it, I'm like, I was just beside myself, because obviously it looks like an arm tackle. He went low like a running back, and you tackled him at his ankles, at his feet, because the way he was going low. So apparently it comes the fact that it was a late hit. Oh, you can't hit the knees, blah, blah, I was going to blow the knees. We could do an hour show just on this, but in all sense, I mean, to really recap that play, Suggs was flagged 15 yards, you know, going off the quarterback's knees, whatever. And it just, it created a whole lot of discipline problems from there on there. I mean, that started the whole slew of penalties, but we'll address that a little bit. So after the game, because Suggs was pleading his case, like, how am I supposed to know he ran the read option? I'm not going to wait till he pitches the ball. If the quarterback starts running, it's just like a bootleg. Like, if it's a called bootleg, you know, and the quarterback just starts taking off, you're going to go after him. Like, it's not like you're going to just sit there and wait in a zone and go, oh, if he gets the line of scrimmage and just starts to throw it, then I can't go tackle him. No, if you're running, you're alive. So, and of course, everybody chimed in. I mean, Pete Carroll was vocal about it. The Seahawks coach, because he has Russell Wilson out there. Everybody was vocal, and even Jason Peters, the alignment for the Eagles, was like, Suggs is a dirty player. He was probably thinking about it. And everybody was calling Suggs a dirty player. Well, I found out about like some of the media members, because you know how fans are. Well, the media members of Philly, especially one in particular, he was vocal and tweeted, Suggs is a dirty player. There's no room for that. Kick him out of league. Find him and kick him out, or suspend him and kick him out of league. So day after the game, obviously we know that the league reviewed it. It's a legal play. By rule, definition of the rule, and I did post it on the page, is, you know, the defender can't really wait and see that option, like, because he just can't. So long story short, I fired back at the guy because the certain media member of Philly tweeted that Suggs should be kicked out of league, suspended. So I tweeted him back saying maybe your head coach should find a more viable quarterback option to run the option with, the read option, like Tebow. Because, like Suggs said in the postgame conference, you decide to run the read option with the quarterback with two bandies, that's on you. But they're firing back at us saying this Suggs is a dirty player. And I love Harbaugh defending that, saying, like, the Eagles calling our guy and taking cheat shots and all that, that's not respectful, that's not classy. So it's kind of like, again, you know, I know I took flack for it, and I'm not targeting the fan base by any chance, because, you know, they're all bad apples in society. Doesn't say that, you know, Roman's a good apple. I expect nothing less from an organization that doesn't know how to win. I mean, we're classier. There's nothing dirty about that, and obviously the league sided with us, so the onus is out on that.
This whole play, all right. Well, you don't go after Suggs' character at all. He's been in this league long enough to know what's a legal play, what's not a legal play.
He's a world champion, Brandon. Yeah. He's a world champion. You think he's a world champion? Yeah. What's Sam Bradford done? All he does is get surgeries. I mean, be honest with you.
Yeah, and Suggs has been through this before. He knows what a dirty mm-hmm. play is and what isn't. He doesn't have a history of dirty plays. Qadree Ismael, during the live broadcast, I watched the encore. He made a very good point. It was called passing. You know, rushing the passer. The quarterback wasn't a passer at this point. He was running the ball. Yeah, he was a rusher. He was rushing. Yeah, exactly. So how do you have roughing the passer if he wasn't passing the ball?
Right, and he pitched it off. Right. So none of it makes sense. But I knew it wasn't going to stand, but that's besides the point. But the point here is it just feels good because us as Ravens fans, obviously, and again, you know, I'm not taking jabs. I mean, I took jabs personally at the media member because he's just an idiot and a moron. And because I was like, because I even told him, I said, you think Suggs should be kicked out of the league? I even tweeted him. I said, maybe you should be suspended without pay for not knowing the NFL rules and covering your team. So I was like, you need to, you know, I just hate nothing worse than, I mean, we're all opinion based, but nothing worse than I hate when someone's a paid media member and doesn't know the rules or doesn't know what they're talking about. Like, really? Like, knee jerk reaction, like, oh, you tackled him. He's a dirty player. Like, it's football. Like, even I knew that wasn't a dirty play, and I sound biased because I'm obviously a diehard Ravens fan, but when I saw a play, I'm like, that, and it was an arm tackle. I seen the replay. He's arm tackling him. He ain't going maliciously down at his knees. So I'm mm-hmm. like, they don't even know what they were talking about in the first place. So, again, last laughs on us. You know, obviously it's all over the place that the league sided with the Ravens, so we can sit here with our heads high and say, whatever. You know, we'll never see you guys again. So, it is what it is, but again, that's just the start of it, because the yellow flag parade just went on from there. I think we had like 20 penalties. That was just undisciplined Raven football. It was sickening.
Yeah, that was definitely the big story. Besides the Suggs hit, the big story coming out of this game is the fact that the Ravens were penalized beyond belief. I mean, this was right. Nothing but yellow flags. Every single time something went well for the Ravens, there was a holding call, or there was a roughing call, or there was something every single play that something was about to go off, something went wrong for the Ravens. Is this just a team filled with rookies that don't know the system yet, or was this lazy? Was this just laziness from certain players? Because with that amount, it can't just be like, oh, sorry about that. If it was people, like players, continuously doing it, I mean, that proves that they weren't taking this either seriously or they weren't prepared for the Eagles.
I mean, that's a good point there, but I don't think it's anything other than undisciplined rookies. I think it's more or less we just didn't show up to play football, period. From starters to the third stringers to anybody, no one really showed up to play. Like you said, other than Renner, who was the best quarterback on the field, it's just kind of like it's just like, what are you guys are doing? I mean, apart from that interception, it kind of just went downhill. I mean, the first team defense went from two straight three and outs against a Saints offense at home to they couldn't stop them, and they were undisciplined football, and it went from the first quarter to the fourth quarter. It's just the penalties kept coming. It was holding, it was defensive pass interference, it was defensive holding, illegal contact, you name it, it was there. I think the Ravens probably have more penalty yards than real total yards, and I would love to see the stats on that. But again, I'm not too worried about stats in a preseason game. The only positive note to take from this game is, it really didn't count, and hopefully 2, 3, 4 weeks into the season, we're going to be like, what Eagles preseason game? Who cares? What did hurt us, though, is there was a rash of injuries on the offensive line. I'm a little concerned.
Yeah, there were definitely a lot of injuries. The biggest one has to be to one of our running backs, the guy who's supposed to be backing up Justin Forsett, Taliaferro. He's got, a sprained MCL, which...
sprained MCL, yeah.
Which that really sucks. That really sucks for him. I was very impressed with him last week. Justin Forsett, he's looking good, so hopefully we don't have a lot to worry about. But with Taliaferro going down, we did see more of Buck Allen than I think that was originally scheduled. But for the most part, I was impressed with Buck Allen. He is a rookie. He's got some learning to do. But I liked what I saw from him so far. And for the first couple weeks, he might be the guy to back up Forsett.
I believe so. I mean, right now it's the next man up. You really hate to see any big injuries like that. So it's just kind of really disappointing to really see that happen. Luckily, it's not a big tear. Speaking of that, how about a big casualty? Speaking of MCLs and ACLs, and I was watching this game live, and it was kind of like I knew something was very, very, very wrong. But how about the Packers losing Jordy Nelson for the year?
That's rough.
Oh my God, yeah, it is. That's huge. And I think Steelers lost their center for the year as well. So, and speaking of that, I found out just as before we go on air, did you hear who the Steelers signed today by chance?
No, who did they sign?
Mike Vick.
Really?
Yes.
Another reason to hate the Steelers.
Figured you love that. So he went from one Pennsylvania team to the other. Again, it's just like I just wanted to throw it out there because it's irrelevant. I mean, obviously, but we'll see. I mean, because they had their backup go down, so I think it's going to add a little fun to it. But besides the point, it's these players are going down. I mean, you see it all the time, and I mean, again, I'm really sorry to hear about Nelson, and he's out for the year, and some of the players already. I mean, you got Kelvin Benjamin of the Panthers. These guys go down, and I'm just here thankful that it's only a sprain and not a full tear, or he's out for the year. And speaking of injuries, I heard Dean Pease is concerned, and we're all concerned too with Dean Pease's concerns. Is Webb, since his hamstring injury, has not been seen. So that it's kind of like, again, and I had to talk people off the ledge a bit. Obviously, you know how it is. It's we play like crap, and oh my God, we're going to suck this year. Calm down. I feel bad for the Redskins coming to town because they better not play RG3 because I heard Gruden down in D.C. has been taking some heat because he left him in the game too long. And I watched that game. RG3 got blasted. And after the Ravens played this week, I'm like, if they start RG3 on Saturday night here in Baltimore, God help them because he might really get blasted because I really think that this Ravens team, and it's our dress rehearsal for the regular season. So I think we're going to right the ship this week, but Philly, it's kind of in the rearview mirror. And like Harbaugh said, we'll learn from this. I really haven't been, they don't really let us inside, obviously, unless you're real in-depth media to know how they've been practicing. But from what I hear, they've been practicing hard and they're learning from it. Flacco owned to his mistakes. We got to, get through the injuries and know that the rash of penalties, I just chalk it up as I just think they there wasn't really hype with the game. I mean, they went to Philly. It's relaxed. It's preseason. I think they were just out there trying to get their feet wet and playing football. And it's second preseason game. This isn't week four of the season. This isn't the dress rehearsal for the year. I mean, it really sucks that it was our first team. But, Brandon, we have to understand it's only preseason. Now, I'd be concerned if Saturday night we play like that again at home against the Redskins, and that's the last time we'll see our starters until September 13th against Denver. Yeah, I'm going to be like, all right, what's going on here? But for right now, the jury's still out. I'll give them the benefit of doubt. Every day, everybody has a bad day every once in a while, and it happens. So, I mean, yeah. I'm not going to fault them. Let's just right the ship and practice hard and play like Ravens.
And
that wasn't playing like Ravens.
No, that wasn't at all. And we really need to see what can happen from a lot of these guys because the first round of cuts is coming up very soon.
And that's a concern because of all the injuries.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's almost like who you're going to cut because these guys got to heal. And you need the backups to play for the injured guys. But are you going to cut them? Because then it's just like, I don't know what you do. It's what do you do? And that's a tough decision right now.
Now, one big name that I wanted to bring up made a real big splash in the first game. Michael Capinero, he was on the sidelines for the second game. He didn't play at all. He was in a t-shirt. There has been an injury report. I don't believe about this guy. Why wouldn't you play Capinero if he had such a good first game? Why wouldn't you play him in the second game?
It could have been an evaluation coach's decision to where they saw good enough things from him in the first game to where they didn't want to give him playing time, maybe. I don't think it was an injury related because I kept looking it up, didn't find anything. But I chalk it up as it's kind of like, hey, you did good. You deserve a night off. We're going to evaluate some other talent because, like you said, the cuts are coming. So it's kind of like maybe that means Capinero is safe. I would think he's safe the way he performs. So it's kind of like let's give these guys – evaluation and see what we have talent wise to see what we're going to keep. And then now with the injuries, I think we'll see Capinero dressed and ready to go for Saturday night, but I'm not going to really be too concerned there. I mean, unless it came out, but he didn't look hurt as you've seen him on the sideline. So I just think it was a coach's decision saying they're getting the night off tonight.
No, that's interesting. I was hoping to see more from him in the second game, but apparently he impressed enough, hopefully, in that first game that doesn't need both of them. But
right.
Let's stay on the offensive side of the ball here. Did you see Max Williams and Joe Flacco being able to play on their own line for a little bit? I was a little surprised it didn't feel as if they didn't have very good chemistry. At least this is from what I know, that being their first time playing on the same line together.
Right, I noticed that too. I mean, again, first time live game match, practice to the real game field, it's a lot different. It's going to take time. He's a rookie with an all-pro quarterback. I mean, it's so much to ask for. I mean, he's not going to come out lighting it up like Pitta did or Rob Gronkowski or any of those top flight tight ends. It's, again, you know, he's got to learn. But, yeah, they did not look in sync. They didn't look at all, but you already know Crockett Gilmore is going to be our starting tight end. He's got the rhythm with Joe. So I think now as Max works into it, maybe later in the year you might see him like I've discussed him and we discussed before, you know, work him in those packages. But again, Max being a rookie, he's learned the offense. He's going to be right now on the second team and Randy's going to be a backup, maybe in for run blocking, but it's just going to come with time and age.
Sure. And switching over to the defensive side of the ball, two names I want to bring up to you. Tell me what you thought of these guys. A guy who I knew absolutely nothing about. This is a guy who's fighting for a spot on this team. I didn't know he was on this team in any way. Cassius Vaughn, which has got such an awesome football name. I mean, that's one of the coolest football names I've heard.
It's awesome.
Cassius Vaughn, he's been in the league for a couple years now. He usually signs one-year deals with different teams. I'm sure he's been on the practice squad. He's had a couple NFL games. But I was impressed with him. I thought he was he's a quarterback. I thought he played defense very well. I was impressed with what he was able to do. Of course, these aren't the top Philadelphia guys he was up against. But for the most part, if we're going for depth, I would keep this guy either on the main roster or on the practice squad. I liked him.
And you're right. I was impressed with what I seen out of him too. And it very much might be reality, not even just a possibility because of all the injuries we're having and we need bodies. We need the best 53 healthy men out there playing Raven football. And another mentioned name I want to bring up, too, is another great football name. How about Big Z? He got another sack, man.
You took the words right out of my mouth. That was the next guy I was going to bring up. He got to sack Tebow. And I know there's a lot of people out there that would love to do that, but Zardarius had a chance.
Some females that I know.
This guy, it's going to take him a little bit of time getting used to the NFL, but he's a guy I can see making a huge impact. The dude is big. He's tall. He's just an impressive force. And you saw what he can do. He's got a little bit of speed underneath him.
Describe playing like a Raven, my friend.
Exactly. Now, we do have some guys that did leave the team, leaving some spots open on the defense. With a little bit of time, Zardarius Smith, he's going to be a wrecking ball on this team.
Oh, and no pun intended for Miley Cyrus's song, but he's going to come in like a wrecking ball, I tell you that. He's big physical, man. I mean, it's two sacks and two preseason games. The guy's just he's trending upward, and I remember when we broke down the draft, and I was tickled to death that we got this guy, and he just looked like a freak. He's a Raven. He looks like he's just a big machine out there, and he's going to be a quarterback sacking machine out there. And I think from what I've seen, he had potential to crack the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. Who knows? And I would love to see that alongside Suggs and Dumervil and really getting after the quarterbacks. I mean, and then you got C.J. Mosley back there. This defensive rush / linebacking core, I'm telling you, I think our front seven is as strong as anything in the league. Again, the secondary with – and speaking of that, another name is Jimmy Smith. It was good to see him in action. So and to cover the defensive penalties as a whole, they are more on the defensive side, if not the offensive, especially that first series. I just think it was just a discipline issue. I think they were all wound up versus it's kind of just, again, there wasn't a hype around the game. And it's coaching. It just comes around. It all can be fixed. It's not like it's a big problem, and it's a one-time incident. It's not like it's a recurring issue. So, again, with all that, really Cassius, I like him to step up. And I like to see more out of Kedrick Lewis. I think, from what I've seen, it was an okay pedestrian game. I like to see a little bit more leadership, a little bit more drive. But again, you know, we're going to have a good dress rehearsal for Saturday night against the Skins at home.
Hey, Kedrick Lewis is another name I wanted to bring up. He got two penalties, I believe, just on him. And for a guy who's been in the league for a couple years, he's been with the Chiefs, he's been with the Texans. We've signed him to a 3-year deal. I expected a more disciplined game from him. Yes, this is the preseason, but for a guy who's trying to make an impact on a new team, I would have expected a little bit more discipline from him on the field.
I would have too. Again, you know, these guys, they could have been excited. I don't know what is up. Can't answer it for you. I mean, unless you talk to them themselves. But I just, again, you know, you want to expect a lot more discipline, but I expect him to really right the ship. I was impressed in his mini camps and training camp where he was very the vocal leader of the secondary along with Jimmy Smith. And he's new guy. So, and another name upon that too is Arrington, Kyle Arrington. So I like to see him as a veteran step up and really bolster the secondary because we need help. We need the leadership that every left when he left. With Ray and Reed, we need these guys out there. You need Suggs. You need a young second year Mosley stepping up. You need the Dumervil to really step in. So I think we do have a good mix of veterans and rookies and sophomore talent, so and especially with the new additions of Arrington and Lewis. So I think really if we hone in and knock the rust off, and that's what I really chalk up Philly is, it was a knock off the rust game. I think the team performed well with, and again, we only saw limited action, but what we saw was an impressive glimmer of hope. So now we got to see more of them. I think it's just being a short week, get on to Philly. I know it was a Saturday through Saturday, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you talk it up as, but let's just throw this out the window and get ready for the preseason premiere, as we say, as a dress rehearsal for the preseason week number 3.
Yeah, so one last play I do want to bring up from this game in Philadelphia. Brian Renner Daniel Brown. I always wanted to say Daniel Bryan, but I knew that was wrong. They had a very good touchdown play. Renner, even though he's not going to make this team, we already talked about that last week. We don't have to do that again. He's not going to make this team, but the dude is definitely putting up some highlights for his reel, for his resume. If he doesn't land here, he will be on a practice squad somewhere, in this league. He's definitely showing he's got some potential in the NFL. I was impressed though with his play with Brown. They definitely, were able to get the football down the field and they were able to get that touchdown. down, but playing off of Renner very well. I was impressed with Waller, Darren Waller. I thought he did very good. Again, a rookie's got a lot to learn. I'd like to see him play a little bit with Flacco to see if there's a chemistry there. But that's why you have Waller out there on the field, being able to get some experience underneath his belt, even if it is with a guy like Renner. A lot of people got to realize, a lot of people saying like, oh, cut Schaub, bring in Renner, yada, yada, yada. Playing these third string quarterbacks is not just to see the quarterback, it's to see those other players as well and to see what they can do. If they do well, they move up and possibly play with Schaub or play with Flacco like we saw with Max Williams. So seeing these other players on the offensive line being able to make plays, Waller was definitely one of them. It's good to see that. And I could see Waller kind of moving up a little bit, maybe getting a play or two with Flacco in the next game.
Right. I mean, and if you really look at their performance, I think Waller could have a position to where he can go for maybe a fourth or fifth wide receiver on the depth chart. I mean, where Marlon Brown's been absent, maybe that's where Waller steps in and becomes that rookie that just takes the starting position. I mean, but Waller's been impressive so far. So, and like you said with Renner, it's just building the resume. Maybe he could have a position where he become the three starter on the depth chart, just in case, for insurance policies. But from what I've seen about these two, Darren Waller's been impressive. I know I was high on Jeremy Butler in the beginning of training camp. I really haven't seen him much, but Darren Waller's been that guy. And again, wherever Marlon Brown's absent, here comes Darren Waller. So I think we might have found something here.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about this Redskins game. You're saying it's going to be a dress rehearsal. Do you see Harbaugh, the new offensive coordinator, our defensive coordinator, do you see these guys really building towards that 53-man roster? Is this going to be like the first clue of what our starting lineup potentially could be?
Oh, it's going to be the biggest clue, because you're really going to see a lot of starters play well into the third quarter, possibly through three quarters. Especially how they played on Saturday night. I think really you're going to see a lot of plays here from both sides of the defense and offense alike. So we're going to get really a good glimpse on who's going to be out there for us. You're really going to see the units that we want to see out there. It's going to be great under the lights at M&T Bank. I think the main things to look out for is the discipline. You know, cut down the penalties. That was just way too much. It was just getting comical. The home crowd helps, and I think it's going to be a real decent crowd, especially to see these guys. And because once we see these guys, we're not going to see these guys for another month. So, you know, come the end of September, they finally make their home debut in week three at home against the Bengals. So you really just hope that everything just comes together. And right, I just really hope to see Waller perform. I'm going to see the offensive line, because I'm concerned here, because we just carried the same offensive line from year to year. Now we're hurt again. So we want to see how that performs. I want to see how Buck Allen performs. So there's a lot of still good jobs on the line, but you want to see these units perform. So this is going to be a very busy game, because there's a lot of evaluation, a lot of cuts happen between then and the fourth game to get them down to the final 53. So this is going to be players fighting for jobs, and I really think you're going to see a way better effort from our team out there than what we just witnessed.
That's what I hope to see. Something you just brought up, very interesting. Let's talk about this a little bit. You said it's going to be in front of the hometown crowd. Is it going to be a really hometown crowd, because we are so close to D.C.? I've traveled to a Redskins game when the Ravens were playing them. I'm sure Redskin fans are going to come up here for the Ravens game. Of course, the Ravens are going to be loud, and they're going to outnumber Redskins fans. But are we going to see more of a split crowd than we're used to at the bank?
It's hard to say. I really can't answer that. I wish I could, but the only reason I can't say officially is because with people in preseason tickets, you just never know, because a lot of people like to unload those. And
a lot of them are freebies. A lot of them are just giveaways.
Real game starts.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of them, people just give them away too. Absolutely.
Yeah, because they're just like, oh, I don't want to go. But being that this is a dress rehearsal. Yeah, so I think it's we being this, and again, we're not going to see these guys until a whole month, because they go on the road for the final game, as I said, and in the first 2 weeks, they're on the road of the season. So for three straight weeks, we're not going to be seeing this team back at home, and we're welcome back. So being a Saturday night game, I think you're going to see a lot. Again, I don't know how many Redskin fans, but to those fans out there, do you really want to travel to see RG3 get blasted? I don't think so.
Yeah, so this is.
But they better not start the guy.
This is a Ravens podcast, but let's kind of switch gears a little bit here. RG3, you and I, we were texting back and forth about how he already got hurt and how he said he's the best quarterback in the league and everything like that. But do you, given the history from a couple years ago, I mean, his knee problems and everything started with a Ravens game, that big hit. With Haloti Ngata. So do you play him for these three quarters? Because with a guy who's so delicate, do you want him up against a guy like Zardarius Smith and Terrell Suggs? And I would be scared to death if I was RG3 at this point.
I mean, I'd be scared to death of anything. And the way we play, we're going to play some pissed off football. Don't get me wrong. I mean, and really looking at that team and knowing their issues, their quarterback issues on Saturday, because the way he's been playing and the way he's been injured and getting blasted, their quarterback situation's unsettled. So I don't think they're going to play him for three quarters, not only for that evaluation point, but because of his health, because they want to see Kirk Cousins. They want to see these backups to see who's really going to truly take the starter. So this is going to be an interesting game for everything, because you've got their evaluation side, you have our evaluation side. It's going to be pretty interesting to see, really, if any, and there's a lot of pundits out there stating that the Redskins shouldn't even start him at all, because of the circumstances, and yeah, it's the dress rehearsal for all teams involved. But we already know what we can see out of him, but you're right, he's never been the sense, and these running quarterbacks, you've seen it happen to Michael Vick. He was just never the same way. Speaking of, you know, now he's a Steeler. When he got hurt in a preseason game, and I think it was Ed Hartwell, I believe, hurt him in that game again, and when he played for the Falcons, and all these quarterbacks are like that. Once they get hurt, they're never the same player. And that's any player for herself. But these quarterbacks, they really take a beating, especially these rushing quarterbacks. So I don't think the Redskins are going to really ruin their game plan. I think you're going to see limited RG3 action, if not at all, again, especially against our defense at home, because they're going to look out for blood because of the criticism Suggs and the team was under this week, and they're going to improve and show. You want to call us 30 players? Come play us at the crib. So I don't think anything wants to play us right now, because we're gonna show, put our best foot forward to really show what we're made of. And with the problems Denver's having right now, we can go in there and really make a statement. So I really can't wait to see how it unfolds.
Yeah, and to all Redskins fans out there, just know cap season starts up October 10th, so you will have a team to root for in the district. So, and you can listen to What the Puck.
You can't forget about the Wiz.
Well, yeah, whatever. You know, the Stanley Cup, though, is right in the grass. That's all I'm saying for the Caps out there.
Come on. Forget about the Wizards.
I know. So let's talk about, since we're talking about the third game, dress rehearsal, big hint of who we're going to see in September. But this is also a big hint of who potentially could be cut from this team with cuts coming up. Who, in your opinion, is on the bubble? Who could make this team, but with a bad play this Saturday, could be off this team?
There are some names up there. Who could be off this team? Marlon Brown. I'm going to put his name fourth in front because I haven't seen him at all. Who knows? Because like you said, with the presence of Dan Waller, you got Kamar Aiken, you got Steve Smith. You got some of these guys who are up and coming. I mean, and if Butler can steal a show, I know his name hasn't really been mentioned, but Marlon Brown, I don't know what's up with his play. I don't know if he's hurt or just not in it, but he could be a bubble guy. Another player is who I liked it really see make the starting lineup. I really like him to succeed. I mean, I really like the guy from day one, especially we already know he's famous for the Vikings tiptoe catch in the back of the end zone at the snow game. So we've seen what the guy can do. So my first bubble guy would be Marlon Brown, believe it or not.
That's very interesting, because that second Flacco interception, that was a pass to Marlon Brown. It was overthrown. So it sucks.
But
that,
it was Joe's fault. It wasn't really Marlon's fault.
Right, and it just sucks that like the one play that was for Marlon Brown was overthrown, because I feel as if, you know, if he was 8 feet tall, he could have caught it. But otherwise, he had no chance of doing that. It sucks that the only time we're talking about him is for a play that he could have – there was nothing he could have done to make that play any better. But – he definitely could be a bubble guy. The wide receiver position is one that has a lot of people vying for just a few spots. And you know me, I've talked about it all the time. Marlon Brown is one of my favorite guys. I loved what he brought to this team, but I agree with the fact that he could be a bubble guy due to the fact that there's so many spots and he really hasn't shined this preseason like a lot of other players have. I mean,
he hasn't.
I feel as if Kamar Aiken did leapfrog him last year and really was able to take the spot out from under him. And he did have a couple concussions and injuries last year, which also held him down. I would hate to see Marlon Brown go. Really would hate to see him on the bubble and hate to see him cut from this team. But this is a business. You go with the best team you have, and potentially he could go. Absolutely. I don't really know a couple bubble guys due to the fact, like you brought up, so many injuries. We're so worried right here. I mean, Buck Allen, there was probably a good chance that he was going to be a practice squad guy. But with Taliaferro down for a couple weeks, now it looks like he potentially could make the 53-man roster. It kind of goes like that with preseason.
It does.
We'll see who actually does get cut. There's so many. How many players are on this team right now? Like 90?
It was 90. I think it gets down to 72 or 75, right around that ballpark, and then the final 53. So it's kind of like they almost cut 20 players at a time. And you know me, I've always said preseason's awesome. Everybody's like, why is it so awesome? Because you're seeing jobs on the line. You know, their careers being made. And this is where it is, make or break time. You're making the 53-man roster of an NFL starting team, so this is where it can come into play, and you got to perform. And speaking about performance, I know one of the guys, and I think he will make the team, I wanted to bring up, is one of our return specialists, Asa Jackson. I like to see him. I think he obviously is going to make the team, but that's another guy that I really like to see perform well because I've always liked him. He's been playing solid. You'll see some solid plays. So I like to see some action Jackson, I should say. And he's wearing Ray Rice's old number 27, so I really can't wait to see how that pans out.
That's definitely a little weird.
Because I think the 27?
Yeah, well, seeing 27 already back on the field, that's just – it kind of throws me off when I'm just kind of like – when I'm looking at my tablet and then I look up the TV.
It's like seeing Jacoby Jones is 12 and I'm like, yeah. Jacoby's out there. He's going to catch the miracle. And I'm like, that's not Jacoby. again, you know, you're right. When you see these numbers, you're like, hey. But
for the longest time, I remember after Todd Heap left, somebody took up 86, and I kept just calling the guy non-Heap.
Not Heap. Yeah. Well, it's like the Orioles when Bruce Chen left, and then Wei-Yi Chen came, and I always said, and Glenn Clark made the phrase "not Bruce" because he couldn't pronounce his name, so he said "not Bruce Chen." So I always never forget that. But and speaking of the bubble, remember. Because Campanero wasn't dressed, you have to figure it if Waller performs well and you have Campanero making her team as a wide receiver slash kick returner, that can move Marlon Brown out of the picture because you have Steve Smith, you got Kamar Egan, you have Darren Waller, you have Campanero. So there's your main four. And then if you, like I said, would Marlon be the fifth? Who knows? But I really, Waller's impressed, so we'll see what happens.
And we'll definitely see what happens. There is some other people that just aren't going to make this team. You know, I don't know if you saw this, but on a
and I
go ahead.
Well, because I was going to say I really hate that because again we're talking receivers, but that fifth option, and I really hate because I think because we really haven't seen him. But what about our first pick, Rashad Perryman? I mean, you forget about the guy; he's been hurt. But yeah, I mean, I hate to say that because the after guys, because we're talking about all these players that we're seeing, but. You can't forget about Perryman. So it's kind of, obviously, I would think he makes the team just by default because we invested so much in the draft to get him. So it's kind of like maybe that is Marlon Brown's exit plan because, you, like, put it this way, you got Perryman, you got Smith, you got Aiken, you got Waller, you got Campanero. There's your main five. I see Marlon Brown being the guy out right now.
And that's very interesting. I remember a couple seasons ago, we were expecting a little bit more from Tandon Doss. Nothing really came.
Yep, same thing.
He got cut, but then Jacoby Jones gets hurt, and they bring Tandon Doss back. So there's a chance that something
you
like
might
that.
See it.
Yeah, that might happen as well. I think Marlon Brown is much more talented than Tandon Doss was. I was really hoping Tandon Doss would have something to show, but he never was able to pick up the game. Like that. So there are other people. I don't know if you saw this or not, but this Philadelphia Eagles fan club posted this video, and it was of Albert McClellan punching one of the Eagles players after a play, like punching him in the gut, which I thought was a pretty dirty move. Just this team with everything it went through last year, I think that Harbaugh has a very high standard for how these players act on the field. And it could be this guy's a great player, but if you do pull crap like that, you punch a player after a play, Harbaugh's not going to stick with you. He'll let you go doing something stupid like that on the field.
Oh, you will. I mean, remember how McKinney was in the doghouse? I mean, Harbaugh don't play. And I remember that very vaguely. I mean, I kind of discounted it because I don't know the result of it. And it really wasn't – I mean, the Suggs thing took the more of a spotlight than anything else. But there's no room for that. That's not playing like a Raven. That's not playing like a two-time world champion franchise as we are. Harbs don't play with that. So if anything, it's going to probably be dealt with. You might not even see him make the team. Who knows? But with the rash of injuries, it's kind of like, hey, you know, you kind of forgive that discipline error, you know, apologize and move forward and say, hey, it was just a heat of the moment. But, and for the record, just to, you know, backtrack there too, I heard, I mean, obviously the practices were heated all week. So I think more or less what happened is it just carried to the game and the Eagles got the better of us because we were not prepared and they were. And I think in practice, and I think this is what really happened. And I'll really end it kind of really with this and tie everything together is, Steve Smith was schooling the defensive backs. I heard that the Ravens were really outperforming the Eagles in practice. And I think what it really came down to it is the Eagles were like, let's show them on Saturday night in our house. And I think that's what really happened. And the Ravens, I think it could have been they practiced well. They expected to come out and play well, and they really just didn't show up. So then when it kind of went downhill, it just stayed downhill. They never tried to climb back up.
Hopefully it's something like that, but once this regular season starts, if they have a bad week in practice, if they get uncomfortable, I just really hope that they realize that this is the real game. This is Super Bowl 50 on the line, that they have to do everything. They have to play every day. They have to play like a Raven in every single game. They have to practice like a Raven in every practice.
That's right.
And hopefully with these preseason games, we can see what players act like Ravens the best, because that's really what we want. We want the best Ravens team we can find. So hopefully this Eagles game was nothing more than just guys not taking preseason seriously, rookies trying to prove themselves but making dumb mistakes. Because even though there was a lot of bad, and there was plenty of bad in this game, there were some shining lights, some bright spots. Justin Forsett, again, another guy who you can always count on, had a great game for what he did play against the Eagles. So hopefully on Saturday up against the Redskins, we see a different team than we saw in Philadelphia, and hopefully that will be the team, like you said, closest to the one we'll see in the season opener against Denver, and hopefully this is they act a little bit better too. I mean, hopefully it's a more disciplined team. Hopefully it's a better thought out team. Everything about this team has to be better than it was in Philadelphia.
100% agree, my friend.
All right, man. So I think that might be it for the show this week. Did we cover everything?
We covered it to the max.
All right. Very cool, man. If you want to continue talking Baltimore Ravens football, there's been plenty of people doing it, man. A lot of people are talking to us during these preseason games, and I love it. I think it is awesome. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. We can talk Ravens football. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They've been finding me, and they continue to find me at Italian GQ52.
They've been finding you? So they've, like, you got your own stalkers now? That's pretty cool.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I've been getting, like you said, and this is great, man. Like, I have to give a shout out. I mean, this is great. I mean, we've gotten fans, and, you know, I'll carry some good conversations on Twitter, and, you know, getting some thoughts out there, and I'm really getting it, man. So I really, I'm very excited to hear that and to see that and interact with the fans out there, and we're all family. We're Ravens Nation. So let's keep it up.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're on Facebook as well, you can talk to us on Facebook. A lot of people have been doing that too. Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. A listener, Ryan Mitchell, he actually does YouTube videos about the Ravens. And,
that was a good video too.
Yeah, absolutely. He sent us one of the videos talking about that big Suggs hit. I thought the video was very well done. So definitely go check out some of his stuff as well. He's talking to us on Twitter. You know, a lot of different people are talking about Matt Schaub has to go. That's from Mario. So you guys are talking to us. We're talking Ravens football. It's the best time of year till Christmas gets here. But this is Ravens football. You guys are a part of it. So like us over on Facebook, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. You can also go to brandocash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about this podcast, all the other podcasts we do, as well as some photos and videos that we've done as well. You can go over to facebook.com/brandocash. You'll be the first to know whenever a new episode of The Call comes out. We are available on every single platform you can think of. We're probably listed on stuff we don't even know we're listed on, and you guys use it and we just don't know about it. But you can listen to us on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio and the Baltimore Sports Report Network, player.fm, and my new favorite app, Overcast. I don't know if you use this one or not, Josh. It's a podcast player for iOS devices. It is so cool. Overcast, the best thing, and I absolutely love this, is if you download an episode, you have to sign in. It's a free account, but if you sign into Overcast, and if you're driving in your car and you don't get to finish an episode, you then can go onto like your work computer or whatever, log into overcast.fm, and finish what you were listening to on your phone on your computer. So if you can't have your phone out at work, you want to finish the show, you can do that on overcast.fm. I'm a big fan of that. I think that is really cool. So all you guys got to do, help us spread the word about the show, okay? Let people know. Be social with The Call. Like we said, we are on Facebook and Twitter. We need you guys to share the show on your own Facebook pages, your own Twitter accounts. You tell everybody on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you are social on the web. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. The Call is getting me ready for the preseason, for the regular season. You guys should listen as well. It's free. Best thing in the world. It's free, man. And once again, guys, so we got two games left in the preseason. That means you guys have 2 weeks left to get the free intro song for The Call. It is real easy. All you got to do is write us an iTunes review. Doesn't even have to be a good one. You know what? If you listen to us, you like the song, but you hate us, tell people on iTunes and say, hey, send me a screen grab. You can send me via email. Send me a screen grab of your review so I know that you did it. And it is brandocashpods@gmail.com. You send me a screen grab. Tell us you left us an iTunes review. I will send you the full-length song for The Call intro, performed by our friends Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studios. Big thank you to those guys for using our song. Absolutely great song to get you ready for game day. But it can be yours. It can be yours, guys. On game day, you could listen to that song, the full-length song, as you're walking across the bridge, going down Ravens Walk, getting to the stadium. You got some earbuds in. You're listening to The Call song, all because you wrote a review on iTunes, and you're getting a free song. How cool is that? So I think that is it for The Call this week. We're going to get ready for the Redskins. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thanks a lot. And thanks, everybody, for making The Call what it is. And I really can't wait to get after dress rehearsal for the season. Let's put this Philly filthy mess behind us, man. I mean, it just wasn't Raven football. It just wasn't to make us just not watch. But I'm still going to watch regardless. It's Ravens football. How ugly, how good it could be. Love my guys till the day we die. But pretty much this is what it is. It comes down. It's the last time we're going to see the boys before the season at home, because next time we'll see them is the home opener, week three. So I would love to see everybody out there. Of course, root on this team. We just need to get after it. Jobs are on the line. We need to just get after pure, hard-nosed Ravens football. Back to playing like a Raven, because that wasn't it this past weekend, and we know it. And we know what this team's capable of, so let's get after it. Let's wish everybody a healthy game, and get out of it with without any more injuries, because we know estimated. So with that being said, without further ado, we're going to go 1-2-3, Baltimore Ravens fly high into the season this year.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.